welcome to this new edition of So French, the show about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from our studio in the heart of Paris. My name is Stéphane de Vries.
And my name is Sarah Bertelson.
And this week we take a closer look at two of French politics' biggest losers almost 1 year after the presidential election.
And is time finally up for one of France's most infamous politicians and his wife, known for his luxurious taste, preference for cash, and unusual ability to get away with, well almost anything.
Yes, and of course, Maud Descamps is with us for a brand new word of the week.
But first, this week has seen the International Women's Day being marked around the world, of course, here in France. France too has been marking this day, maybe with some more intensity and, you know, I would say some more acknowledgement maybe than previous years.
I think so. The whole Me Too movement, we already saw this week at the Oscars and the Caesar Award ceremony, the French Oscars was also last weekend. It's a big issue, of course, and I think nobody is mocking International Women's Rights Day anymore.
No, it's been big. I mean, the front page of all major newspapers this week and, you know, major articles and, you know.
Yes, and I didn't see the jokes on online anymore saying of men saying, well, when it's our International Men's Day.
Oh, that's true. You know,
I think people take it far more seriously. True. The weekly or the daily newspaper Libération had a nice thing this week.
Yeah, it was interesting.
It sold. It's usually you have to pay €2 for a copy of the daily, but on International Women's Day this week it was €2 for women and €2.50 for men. It was a way of showing the payment gap between men and women. Men are paid 25% on average in the European Union more than men, so they have to pay more. That was the idea of the newspaper. Yeah. But indeed, it was taken seriously, and it was also an opportunity for the government to present an action plan for gender equality.
We remember that, you know, the gender equality was one of Emmanuel Macron's big election promises during his campaign. So this is a big dossier for the French president, and, you know, took the as you say, the opportunity to present this 50-point plan.
Yeah,
this week.
That's very ambitious. What's in it?
Proposals and measures were already known and have been talked about, and I think we even talked about them a couple of times on this podcast. But of course, some of the what's in this plan is, of course, better help for victims of violence, a better and improved workplace equality, and this is a major issue, of course, and that has many different layers. Part of this improved workplace equality is already to start from the beginning and make sure that there are an equal number of girls and boys who enter certain workplaces. For example, make sure that there are more women that will go through to scientific programs, for example, in higher studies. So that's one side of this. They also want to improve the maternity leave, to make it more, to make it better. And of course, that it actually is more favorable to have to use the maternity leave than to use the paid holidays when you have a child.
And of course, also to promote paternity leave, because that's also an issue. Men don't take their the days they're entitled
there
to.
There are 10 days, I think, here in France.
Yeah, and they want to augment that as well. But there's a lot of social pressure within companies on fathers, new fathers, not to take those days because you're being seen as a pussy, or, you know, it's weak if you take your paternity leave. And of course, this mentality has to change as well. The problem with all those ideas and propositions are always very good, of course, but the implementation may seem more difficult. Let's take, for instance, the fact that in French politics, there's a quotum. Men and women should be equally represented. So every party needs to have a man and a woman on the list, on every position. But some parties don't respect that, and they actually prefer to pay fines, because the fines are pretty heavy, a couple of million euros a year.
And we also saw during last year's election that some political parties put women top of the list in constituencies where they knew or had very little chance of actually winning. And they put men in constituencies where they had a chance of actually winning. So, you know, yes, it's a long way to go. But of course, at least acknowledging that there is an issue and trying to do something about it is maybe at least a small step forward. This week was also then a possibility, an opportunity for the government to present a plan to bridge the pay gap, as you mentioned, here in France. I think it's on equal qualifications and the same job. I think this the pay gap is about 9%. In France, and that's when you know that the qualifications are exactly the same.
Yeah, it's lower than the European average, but still 9%. It's almost 10%, almost well 100 euros on every 1,000 euros. So that's a big gap.
It's a lot of money, and the government is now trying to they want to force actually the companies to use a certain software that will analyze automatically all the payment data. In the companies. And if they don't, comply with the regulations and actually do pay women the same thing as men, there will be some quite hefty fines to be paid by the companies. So that is something that will be put in place over the next couple of years. And I think it's not before 2020 or 2022 that the fines will actually start being handed out. But at least they're now going to try to push this software and make sure that the companies start using it.
Now, another topic is harassment. French women are harassed pretty often. But according to Catherine Deneuve, that's okay. But the government thinks differently. The fines for street harassment would start at 90 euros, and that can rise to 750, depending on how fast the offender pays up. In a survey 2 years ago, it showed that 87% of women in public transport, the users, they said that they had suffered harassment, such as whistling or comments on their appearance, insistent stares, or someone, or even someone pressing up against them. So it's a serious matter. The Paris Metro has become a campaign this week.
Yeah, I heard it for the first time this week. It's quite interesting.
Yes, it was a
change of culture, I would say.
Change of culture, absolutely.
So they have announcements in the metro system where they actually tell women to report if they're ever being harassed in the transport system, and also of witnesses. If anyone is a witness to any kind of sexual harassment, that they report it as well.
Yes, and there are two countries in Europe, Belgium and Portugal. They already have introduced penalties for verbal sexual abuse. They have mixed results. And in Belgium, offenders risk up to a year in jail. So that's a long
when
time.
When it comes to the catcalling, it's difficult to know how they're going to be able to actually go through with it.
At the same time, one of the announcements this week of the government was the establishment of a legal age of consent. Under this age, any sexual activity would be considered rape, and the government has opted for 15 years old. Even though some authorities would have preferred 13 years old, but 15 years is now the new, it was already the legal age of consent, but the difference now is that any sexual activity under this age with an adult will be considered as rape. So that's a big change.
And this was after, of course, several cases where 11-year-olds had sexual relations with adult men. And these cases were not considered rapes because the judges considered that the girls had been consenting to this sexual activity. So it did cause a lot of outrage here in the country. So we'll see. I mean, there will be more measures announced later this month by the government, especially when it comes to sexual violence against women. So we will see what will come out of that. But I mean, definitely this age of consent will be part of that pack of measures as well. Now we're going to talk about the biggest losers in French politics, 2017, I think we can say, and maybe even going into 2018, which one would you crown?
Well, I think the biggest loser, without a doubt, is the Socialist Party.
I think so too.
François Hollande's presidency, it was a nightmare or a bloodbath. They went into the elections last year with almost 300 MPs. And when the elections
came
were over, the dust was gone. They were left with only 31. So that's they lost 90% of their MPs, the biggest defeat in history. And it doesn't really look like they are getting their act together. We're almost 1 year further now, and nobody's really talking about the Socialist Party.
I was just about to say, yeah, it feels like this party has fallen into some kind of oblivion completely.
Yes, that they had to sell their headquarters in the heart of Paris because they have a lot of debt. But I don't know.
There doesn't seem to be much, neither public interest nor media interest for what is actually going on in this party. There is some things going on though, because they are about to elect their new president.
Yes. The
new leader of the party. That election will take place later this month. And of course, a leadership battle is also a battle of ideology and what direction the party will take in the future. Because as we know, there is very, very tough internal divisions, or big internal divisions and tough infighting in the party, whether the party should go in a more centrist way or a more left and hard left direction.
Yeah, it's the same debate we're seeing in other European countries as well. Huh? I mean, Corbyn in the UK of Labour, he opted for a more left wing hard line, not a real socialist or democratic way, and it looks like that's working for him. In Germany, the SPD, they didn't do very well in the elections either, also because they didn't choose a real line. They didn't choose between left or social democrats. So all around Europe, the old traditional socialist parties are fighting for their survival, trying to find new ways of existing. But I think the French Socialist Party is really in worse shape.
To say the least.
To say the least, yeah. Now, there are a couple of candidates. I assume they're young immigrants, women.
You know, it's really striking, though. I mean, I when you see these, there are four candidates to this to be the leader of the Socialist Party. And, I mean, the striking thing is, of course, it's four white men.
Yeah. All 40, or 50 somethings.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's incredible. Let's look at the four candidates. There's the guy Luc Carvouna, never heard of. But he was close to Manuel Valls, the former prime minister. But,
he's been seen as a traitor. Many in the Socialist Party, very much the symbol of the centrist and the very the centrist direction of the fraction of the party,
and also the arrogance of the power the party in place. So he's a candidate.
Well, he was supporting Valls, but then now since a couple of months he's completely changed, and now he's adapted some kind of new very lefty stance. So okay, it's a bit difficult to actually know where he's standing for real.
Yes. Then there's Olivier Faure. There's also Emmanuel Morel. He is a member of the European Parliament. He's the only representative of the left wing of the party. He's a hardliner.
He's compared to Jean-Luc Mélenchon, the very much far left candidate, and he even said that if he's elected head of the party, he will reach out a hand to try to have a closer relationship to Jean-Luc Mélenchon.
Who is Jean-Luc Mélenchon? Who is, by the way, a former member of the Socialist Party, and he also left. And then the last candidate is Stéphane Le Foll. He was the spokesperson of the previous government. He's very close to François Hollande. He really defends what Hollande has done. He's also pretty arrogant, pretty happy with himself, and he represents the old Socialist Party.
He was a minister throughout the whole 5 years of François Hollande's government, and he was even, as you said, the spokesperson of that government. So he very much impersonates the former government and you know what the Socialist Party used to be, at least a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So who will win of these four candidates?
Well, you know what? To be honest, I have no clue. There are some polls. It looks like Olivier Faure. He was the favorite coming into this last week. But maybe I think that Stéphane Le Foll. There was a poll that was made. It came out with the surprising result that Stéphane Le Foll was the big favorite. No one actually thought that, but according to this one poll, we must say, he had the support of about 38% of the socialists, far ahead of everybody else. I think that the Olivier Faure, then, according to this poll, was about 5%, and the other two at 4% and 1%. But to be mentioned in this is that I think 52% of the the people who were questioned, they did not want to name anyone because they felt that they actually didn't know enough about the different candidates.
Yeah, and maybe it's not even sure where they will go vote, huh?
That's true.
So the vote will take place on March 15 and
second round
at the end of the month on the 29th of March. So at the end of this month, we will know who is going to save, maybe for the very last time, the French Socialist Party.
Écoutez SoFrench.
You are listening to SoFrench.
Well, so now we were speaking of losers. Who is the second biggest loser in French politics?
Well, the person whom, well, everybody thought, in Europe at least, thought last year that Marine Le Pen would be the new president. She didn't become president. And since then, since Emmanuel Macron won the presidency, it's pretty downhill for Marine Le Pen. It's a very bad year for her.
It started even, I mean, I would say even between the two rounds of the presidential election last year, when she had that, I would almost say, surreal debate between her and Emmanuel Macron, and she completely lost it. And really, most people would say that she lost the election right there, that debate. And then, as you said, since then, it has only gone downwards.
Yeah, some very prominent party members, they resigned because they didn't agree with Marine Le Pen. For instance, Florian Philippot. He was Marine Le Pen's right hand, actually, for many years.
A big part of the new line for National Front.
Yeah, the more reasonable line.
Cleaning up the party.
Cleaning up the party, etc. But, well, he had to leave the party. He started his own party. Marine Le Pen also participated in the general elections, of course, in June. She didn't do very well. She got 7 seats in the parliament. Which means that in the French system, you're basically totally, you have no influence whatsoever. You have very little speaking time. And of course, before she became a national MP, she was in the European Parliament. And there she was very often on television and in the media, not only in France, but in other European countries as well. So she had far more airtime than she's having now. So that didn't go well either. And then, well, I think she realized that her very hard line against the European Union and leaving the euro, well, voters are not buying that anymore. So she had to reinvent the party. It's something she has been doing since then. And of course, there was also her father, the demon who published his autobiography, first part, 2 weeks ago. And he calls her a sad, well, he feels sorry for her. So all this, it was a horrible year. But maybe this weekend everything is going to change, because then it's the annual Congress in Lille. And Marine Le Pen will try a recipe that has been tried by almost all the other French parties. If things go bad, just change your name.
Rebrand.
Rebranding. So that's what she's going to do. She already took the decision. And on Sunday, the Front National, which was founded in 1972 by Jean-Marie Le Pen, will no longer exist and will have a new name. We don't know yet what it is. We'll learn that on Sunday. But what do the members of the party actually think of that?
Well, as always, there have been made some polls as it comes to what people actually think about Marine Le Pen. And this time, it's not only about the National Front voters, but French people in general. And it turns out, the image of Marine Le Pen is very bad and it's degrading. She was considered someone who capable of making decisions a year ago. That's not so much the case anymore. I think about 49%. So not even half of the electorate would say that she's someone capable of making decisions anymore. And only 16% of the French people consider Marine Le Pen as could make a good president. And to remember is that 24% thought that a year ago. So she has lost a lot of
goodwill
among...
Yeah.
And, you know, not only, well, this is, of course, people would not necessarily vote for her, but her image is definitely damaged.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's also the all the court cases that and other affairs that she's being involved in. This week, the European Court of Justice decided that her father, Jean-Marie Le Pen, had to pay back almost 300,000 euros for corruption in the European Parliament, and she's also under investigation for the same actions. So she may have to pay hundreds of thousands of euros to the European Parliament. Then there are other court cases. So she's not in a very good position to restart the party. But it seems like she thinks that she still can still be the leader of the party. It has to be seen this weekend. There's the big annual congress in Lille, so next week we will know the new name of the Front National party. And now it's time for the word of the week. Mot de camp, bonjour. What word did you select for us this episode?
Hi, Stephen. Hi, Sarah. Yes, well, the word of the week is the word ordonnance, which we can translate by the word writ in English, which is a formal written order issued by the government instead of going by the parliament. In another way, the ordonnance is a kind of a trick used by the executive power that to actually make the law instead of the legislative power. So the word ordonnance comes from the Latin ordinare, which means to give order. The principle of ordonnance is actually quite old, because for instance, during the Ancien Régime, this system of ordonnance kind of already existed. So we picked this French word this week because the French president, Emmanuel Macron, has become quite an expert in using ordonnance to make sure his proposals don't get stuck or stopped by the parliament. And the most important topic he chose to pass with ordonnance is the new labor code that changes a lot of rules and rights for workers. And more recently, he decided that he would reform the National Railway Company with ordonnance as well. So the railway men are actually threatening with starting a big strike that would paralyze all the train traffic.
Thanks very much, Mot de camp, with the French word of the week. Well, this wouldn't be so French without a scandal of the week. And, it's never very difficult to find one, unfortunately. this time we're heading to the western suburbs of Paris. Those are amongst the most wealthy towns of Europe, but also amongst the continent's most corrupt. and maybe the most corrupt of those most corrupt
of them all,
of them all, the mother of all corrupt suburbs, is Levallois-Perret.
Very pretty suburb.
Directly bordering Paris. Some people may know it of the La Défense business quarter. It's partly on the area of Levallois-Perret. And this lovely town of about 60,000 people, they have a very illustrious mayor.
I thought you were going to say lovely mayor.
Lovely mayor. Well, I wouldn't say that, but an illustrious mayor with a lovely wife, because they're two, actually.
They go under the name...
Balkany.
Les Balkany.
Yeah.
As a team.
Exactly, yeah. It's Patrick Balkany. He's the mayor of Levallois-Perret. He is one of the founders of the RPR, which is the Conservative Party, that became the UMP, and then it became Les Républicains. He's also a very close friend of Nicolas Sarkozy. And his wife is Isabelle. Now, what have they done wrong?
Well, what have they not done? But no, this is, of course, this is a case of, I think you can say, fraud, corruption, embezzlement of public funds, tax evasion, anything you can imagine that you should not do with money, and especially not when you're holding public office. And this is a case that it goes back several years, but it has been decided this week by the judges that this case will actually now go to trial. So Patrick Balkany and his wife will have to stand trial. They are accused of having, as I said, used public funds to pay for their own very luxurious life. A question of having bought they actually have not declared several of the proprieties that they own around the world. And they even used public money to pay for their own private expenses. And what is interesting in this case, there are many details that are very interesting, but they seem to have a faiblesse, we could say, for cash.
Yes.
And big amounts of cash. It's said that the Balkanis were sort of throwing around 500 euro bills, that when the police searched through their house, they could find piles of 500 euro bills. And, that these bills were left in pockets, or, there was a dry cleaner who got one of Patrick Balkany's coats, and he had sort of just left a couple of 500 euro bills in the pocket and of it. And it goes, I mean, there's a lot of money being involved in this. I think it's about 13 million euros that the authorities are claiming that the couple have not declared or embezzled in one way or the other.
Yeah. Now they have to stand trial in criminal court. That's the news of this week. They risk, of course, imprisonment, huge fines, but they don't really seem to care because they have already been convicted for several times.
In 1996. There was a conviction because the Patrick Balkany, he had used, actually, he employed people at his house as a gardener, for example, but he paid them with money from the town hall. So he was convicted of that. And in 2003, Patrick Balkany was also convicted, even though it was not in the same kind of case, but he was actually convicted of having used defamatory language against one of his political opponents.
Yes, and in any normal country, people would, of course, go to the streets and express their anger and demonstrate against this corrupt mayor, but not in Levallois-Perret.
No, they voted him through for a new...
Five times,
and he was one of you who was elected actually in the first round of the most recent elections.
Yes.
So he's got a very strong popular support.
And sometimes French TV shows try to make reports there, and the press is really badly received in Levallois-Perret, sometimes even threatened physically, not only by the Balkanese, but also by the local people. And it's basically impossible to find somebody in Levallois-Perret who says something negative about the Balkanis, the couple. It's an incredible story, but it may end badly for the Balkanis. They may well have to go to prison now. But the court case can take still many years. Well, that wraps up this edition of So French. We hope you have enjoyed it. Please follow us on Twitter at So French News. And if you have any questions or suggestions, please send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or in the TuneIn radio application, and to share our podcast with your friends. If you like French music, check out our playlist on Spotify, which we update regularly. Just search for So French Podcast or click the link on our website.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of So French, online and on air on World Radio Paris. We hope you'll join us then.
Thanks for listening.
Au revoir.